Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie Beast, presented by CarParts.com. We thank him for it. So, man, I am fired up, bro. I went to SEMA. Had a big splash with the wide body. We'll chat about that in a future podcast. But one of the other noises in and around the whole convention was what our buddy Mike Copeland's doing at Arrington Performance. What do you know about hydrogen? Because I've been to Bonneville before. I've witnessed the guys trying to break land speed records, pouring, you know, 5 gallon buckets of ice water into this massive tank, this massive membrane. There was the whole rear section of the car. Watching these guys, you know, get a lot of mile per hour in speed, but efficiency, how you harvest it, all that stuff is kind of crazy. Hydrogen's basically unknown for a lot of people.
It's a whole nother, you know, when E85 came in years ago, right? That was like, what is this corn stuff, you know? And it took a little while for people to pick up on the, you know, the octane benefit,
oh,
the
E85
cooling benefit. And, yeah, every racer has E85 somewhere, you know, in one vehicle or another, or all of them. But hydrogen, that's just a whole nother thing, right? That's something that very few people tap into, you know, aside from maybe the OEs trying to do some green type of, you know, fleet vehicles or something like that. So, man, I'm pretty excited. You got to see it firsthand. I only got to get clips of it on Facebook and internet. So I'm going to tap into you and our guest today to really fill us in on some of these details.
Well, you know what? I heard about it and I talked to him previously and I was like really excited about what he was building. And then I was like, all right, I'm really excited about, you know, the fact that he's bringing hydrogen in a different way, in a different source, you know, because most of the time you hear hydrogen, it's a fuel cell, right? Well, this is actually burning hydrogen. For those that don't know, hydrogen, you know, we harvest hydrogen from natural gas. And there's a lot of back and forth about whether or not that process alone and that harvesting, it uses a lot of energy. So is it really green? That's a big, you know, kind of back and forth that they're trying to navigate and figure out. But what Mike has done, you know, with this version and this application is unlike anything that we've seen before. It truly is a unique application of hydrogen burning inside the combustion chamber, which I'm like, wait, it's not a fuel cell? You know, it's really surprising in a real new innovation to the industry. So I'm really excited to bring him on and just kind of pick his brain about what the process there is and what he feels like the future is. Because, you know, Mike's had his hands in all kinds of crazy, you know, builds, concepts, and history, you know, evolving stuff throughout the years. So I'm sure this is going to do something.
Well, what do hot rodders do? They try to leverage anything they possibly can to go faster, to go cooler, to go whatever, to go different, right? Just like we've done with all sorts of fuels, nitro, alcohol, you know, we talked about E85, hydrogen's sitting there. So why not go out and play with it a little bit? So I think for anybody that's never done it, which is probably just about anybody on this podcast, this could be a cool little learning trip on, you know, how does it work? What can you do with it? Where can I get some? Do I want to try it out on my vehicle?
Right. And why do they pour buckets of ice water into the Bonneville race cars? It's so weird. maybe I could ask him that, you know, before we get deep into it. But grab your number two pencil, grab a pen, grab something to take some notes on, because this is going to be exciting, y'all. Hydrogen. And not just what you're thinking about a fuel cell, but hydrogen burning like a gas engine burns. Like, and the only thing coming out of the exhaust is a little bit, a very, very, very little bit of NOx, I imagine, and water.
Yeah, water vapor.
I can't wait. We're going to talk to him.
Take a hot shower out of that thing.
Right after the break. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. We're back in just a minute.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Gold One knows that your skin changes all the time, like waking feeling hydrated, only to have dry skin after a walk on a cold day, or having dull skin at work, to glowing skin for date night. People don't have one skin, they have skins. And Gold One Lotion's clinically proven formulas contain 7 nourishing moisturizers, plus 3 vitamins to help you take care of all of them for all your skins. Gold One. Visit goldbond.com to learn more.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. Hey, man, hit up that CarParts.com/Two Guys Garage. Get you a little discount on parts. We're all needing parts. Every one of us listening to this podcast needs parts. So check them and grab them, CarParts.com. Boy, I'm fired up about today, Bird. Fired up.
Yeah, man. Just back from SEMA, and I cannot be more jealous.
Man. Yeah, man.
All right, give me the quickie. Was it just awesome? I know it was probably a little bit downsized from previous years, but did it still just ring your bell?
You know, it's funny because that's what everybody was saying. It was downsized. You can't argue that. But it was almost better because the people that were there were all business. Everybody that had a booth seemed like their booth was, you know, just filled with people that were serious about their parts and serious about their components. And the few booths that you would notice, you know, we're filled with places that you could actually sit down and grab a burrito and eat. So it was really nice, but still, you couldn't see it in a week if you walked every aisle every day.
Well, that's exactly right, man. You know, sometimes quality over quantity is the way to go. And you just kind of mentioned it, like, for anybody who hasn't been to SEMA, it is so big, you know, with the 4 days that you got, you can't see but, you know, 25% of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it almost doesn't matter how big and crazy it is because you're not going to see it anyways, you know? So thin it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Make some room. I got to do some sprints. I got to go down the aisles, man. I got to put a jog on if I'm going to see as much things as I want,
hey,
you know?
One thing you couldn't help but to see was all the attention on our buddy Mike Copeland's booth. He had this red line booth, and he built this really cool-looking truck, but it was powered by something you're used to and comfortable seeing in an old, you know, rotted out, cool looking truck. However, his was completely different. Mike, welcome to the podcast. It's awesome to have you on. And boy, did you make a splash at SEMA. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Mike, we've had Mike on before. He's the president, the CEO. He's the man of Arrington Performance. We've done a lot of TV fun with him, and he's always pushing the envelope, man. And it's really cool you took the time to talk to us about this. Well, do you call it a creation? What spawned the idea of going back to hydrogen?
Well, you know, for hydrogen is used today in fuel cell vehicles, and a fuel cell is where you actually have a membrane. You inject the hydrogen into the membrane and burn it there. As it burns inside this membrane, it generates electricity. That electricity is then taken from the membrane and put into a battery pack, and they use that to run electric motors. So it's kind of a way of having an electric vehicle that charges itself. Okay. And fuel cells, God, we worked on them at GM when I was there years ago, right? And there's some pretty cool opportunities for that to power homes and do a lot of other things. But that's not what we did. Our process, we physically burn hydrogen in the combustion chamber, in the cylinder of an internal combustion engine. So that's been attempted a number of times in the past, but nobody's ever successfully brought it to market. And that's our goal.
What have been the hurdles? What have been the holdups that have kept people from making it an efficient source of power?
Well, hydrogen availability is an issue, right? So fortunately, and because of the fuel cell vehicles in California, they currently have about 47 stations that sell hydrogen, and Shell is in the process of building 40 more. So now you'll have almost 100 hydrogen filling stations in California alone. The hydrogen I've been using here in Michigan, I get from welding supply houses. They actually have tanks that they fill with hydrogen, and we've been using those to run ours. So, you know, hydrogen, like everything, has changed a lot recently. You can get hydrogen off of natural gas. You can manufacture it a few other ways. Today, they have what they call green hydrogen. And green hydrogen is manufactured with zero carbon footprint. So they use solar to power as they convert salt water or just hard water into hydrogen. And they do that. So they create it with zero carbon footprint. And our truck and our packages that we'll have take that hydrogen. They can use dirty hydrogen, what we call dirty hydrogen, more made traditional ways, or it can use this new clean hydrogen. The end result, the hydrogen is exactly the same. And we burn it in an internal combustion engine, and there's virtually zero emissions. So we get a little bit of N2O and water out of the tailpipes, and that's about it.
Talk about a flip-flop, you know, for hot rodding, where we go around with big blocks and blowers and enrich the heck out of our motors and just throw black smoke out the back and, you know, create as much possible CO2 and hydrocarbons and everything. And here you are flipping the script, turning it into, you know, kind of a zero, almost zero emissions type of thing, or at least a carbon neutral, which is huge these days, right? And you mentioned the availability of hydrogen, you know, and right now you said, you know, California, but, you know, a lot of the OEs are still working on fuel cells, and maybe not for passenger cars for us, but I think there's still a huge space for fuel cell within the industry, whether it's fleet vehicles and whatever else, especially if they have a central depot where they can all come in, fuel up nice and easy, you know, send them out during the day, real clean, real efficient. But I imagine that's got to, you know, proliferate into more and more easy access of hydrogen going forward.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I've talked to a couple of the big oil companies, and, you know, Redline's owned by Phillips 66. So I've obviously had a lot of conversation with them about it. You know, they have roughly 2,700 fueling stations across the U.S., and hydrogen could realistically be added to every one of those. I received a call after we debuted it from one of the U.S. senators, and he asked me how he could help get hydrogen available across the United States.
Wow. So tell us how it works, man. Give us some secrets.
Yeah. How would we go about doing said hydrogen thing and this engine thing and burning it thing?
Yeah, well, you just got to wait a little bit. And if everything keeps on the path it's on, we'll be offering retrofit kits to convert internal combustion engines to run on hydrogen. So,
Nice.
Yeah, and our truck is a development piece, right? So we built that with some extra capability, some extra components, you know, stronger components, those kinds of things. But hydrogen can run in virtually any internal combustion engine.
How do you store it?
In a tank. We have our tank holds 2.54 kilograms of hydrogen. It's sold by the kilogram. And we store it in that tank. We're at 350 bar. So that's like 5,075 PSI. And then as you deplete the hydrogen from the tank, the pressure drops. And we regulate it at the fuel rail. And so we have a regulator up in the front. We feed it through the vehicle at that 5,075 pounds. And then we drop it down.
So that means
down.
It's as a gas. So you store it as a gas?
Yeah, we use it as a gas. No liquid at all. So,
right. Yeah, because liquid, it would have to be super cold. So you store it at that PSI. You inject it from the fuel rails at that PSI?
No, we have a regulator in the engine compartment where we're currently at 7 bar, which is just over 100 PSI. And we regulate it down to 100 PSI. We have 16 fuel injectors. And the reason we have 16 is because they're all experimental, and they just never envisioned anyone did building 500 horsepower supercharged LS on hydrogen. So all the injectors are small. So we're running 16 of them to get enough volume to make those kind of power levels.
Now, what's the air-fuel ratio for hydrogen? Because, you know, we're all familiar with gasoline, you know, 14x to 1 and E85 and things like that. So what's the hydrogen ratio?
Well, we're still identifying the perfect ratio, and I'd rather not share that yet. So, but it is obviously
proprietary.
Yeah, it is much different.
Patent pending.
Yeah, we were actually tuning on the truck today, so we were here changing calibrations and changing, obviously, injector pulse widths and all those things.
So it was a big partnership with Magnuson. Explain how that all came to fruition, because this is a really cool, like, you imagine this is what happens, like, you know, all the phone calls and the back and forth and the green lights and red lights in those times when you're making big leaps and bounds, when you got something so different but so promising. It's got to be exciting for you.
Oh, very exciting. So from the hydrogen conversion and that kind of stuff, I've partnered with Bosch to create that. Okay. So I've been working with Bosch personally. You know, I'm an old guy and I've been around a long time. So I've been working with them for over 25 years. And when if it wasn't for that relationship I built with them and all the crazy stuff we've done together, you know, we did the first ever turbocharged direct injected engine way back when I built Jay Leno's Camaro. I mean, I've worked with Bosch in so many different programs. And so, you know, they actually had a technology where they knew they could run an engine on hydrogen, not an engine like what we run. You know, it was hydrogen was everybody always envisioned trying to build that 1.1 liter little engine, you know, that would just purr along on hydrogen. And I'm a hot rodder. That's not what we do, right? So
No, sir.
So we're going for the power. So
yeah.
But in working with Bosch, as we identify the different challenges to make power, and, you know, we've obviously been working on this a while. And so to make power levels and everything else, it was obvious that we needed to be able to force more air into the engine. And a supercharger is a great way to do that. So I called Magnuson. Kim Pendergast owns Magnuson. I called her and said, Kim, this is what I'm doing. And you know,
and she said, you're crazy, Mike. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
Well, they probably think that. But, you know, as you said, I've been around a long time. I've done a lot of stuff. And, you know, her answer was, when do you need it and what do you want? So.
So yeah. What kind of scoop can you give us? Because, you know, clearly you got your top secret stuff.
Right.
But for anybody who's never been around it, doesn't understand how it burns, right? We talked about air-fuel ratio, so we're going to put that one off to the side.
Yep.
But what size blower and maybe what kind of compression? Because I know it can be hard to make, you know, the same kind of power you would off gasoline and other fuels, just because you got to shove it in there. It takes up volume.
Yep.
So, you know, cylinder pressures, those kind of things. I mean, can you give us a, you know, allude to sort of,
yeah,
you know, parameters here?
Yeah. So from a positive standpoint with hydrogen, it's very resistant to detonation. So you can run, you know, if it had an octane number, it would be really high, right? So in our case, we built a 6.2 liter LS. We used the LS3 block, and we added oil squirters to it to cool the bottoms of the pistons, and we added, you know, forged rods, forged pistons. Those all came, the pistons came from Weisco, the rods and the crank came from K1. But we run a shorter rod. We run a 6097 rod instead of a 6125, which is very popular in those applications. And we did that intentionally to run a larger piston, because that's how you transfer a lot of the heat, is through the cylinder wall. So we have a larger piston. We move the ringlands down in the piston. We are a static compression ratio at 9 to 1. We're running we're running 15 pounds of boost on top of it. Zero even thought of detonation. There's so little challenge with detonation that we didn't even put knock sensors on the engine.
So timing's got to be a big thing. Can you hold through the break? When we come back, you got to tell us about timing, how you bring in the spark, and then obviously the power and heat that's generated from it. So all things we're going to pick your brain on, Mike. Give us 1 minute. We'll come back. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast with Kevin Bird and Willie B.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. Check out their mobile experience. You won't be disappointed. CarParts.com. /Two Guys Garage. Save some money while you're at it. All right, so we got Mike Copeland. He is the president, the CEO, the man behind the machine that is Arrington Performance. And they gone crazy up there in Michigan. They gone straight bananas. They're blowing up hydrogen in combustion chambers. Who would have ever thought? Mike, when we last talked, you were talking about your 9-to-1 compression ratio. That surprised me. 15 pounds of boost. Now, can you allude to how you bring in timing or what the table is on that? And, you know, cylinder pressure. And, you know, you said it's resistant to detonation, which makes me happy. How resistant is it to nitrous?
We'll have to try that at some point. We have a Magnuson 2650 supercharger on top of this. And, you know, at 15 pounds, if it was a Hellcat, right, we could make 900 with it at those kinds of numbers. And, that's a 6.2 as well. So on hydrogen, we're being ultra conservative. Our target is 500 with this one, and we're sneaking up on it. You know, it's brand new, but we're getting there. Now, hydrogen,
anything surprise you? Anything surprise you? Are you learning stuff as you go?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we're learning a ton, right? But I have to say, our analytical work that we did up front and all of the engineering that we did up front has all been spot on. I mean, it's just, you know, we have not had anything that was completely different than what we'd expected to see. So hydrogen contains almost 3 times the energy of gasoline for given volume. Right. So you can't really create a gallon of hydrogen, but if you could, it would have 3 times the energy of gasoline. It also almost burns 3 times as fast as well. So because of that, you don't run anywhere near the kind of timing. So you're actually running basically in a retarded mode all the time. And you do that because it burns so fast. Right. So, It affords you the opportunity to do some things you can't do with a traditional internal combustion engine, right? So as an example, when you start winding an internal combustion engine up, increasing RPM in it, there becomes a point where flame travel across the piston and the amount of physical time it takes to burn gasoline, you get to a point of diminishing return. Yeah, and then emissions go up. So that number is typically dependent on piston size and everything else, but let's just say that number is 7,000 RPM. That's why most gasoline engines that are OE level engines don't run more RPM than that. Okay. So okay, that becomes a challenge when you do that. Direct injection affords you an opportunity to increase that RPM some. But if you take that same norm burn time with gasoline, apply it to hydrogen, now we could have, with supporting components, a 20,000 RPM engine.
Jeez.
So, because you can burn it three times as fast. So that's a huge opportunity and something that we will work with as we go forward, right? I mean, obviously, it takes some different components to run, especially in a valve train, to run, you know, big RPM. But
yeah, man, I want to see a 20,000 RPM LS. You got your challenge, Mike.
And, well, you know, we did some work years and years ago on some engines that didn't use a traditional valve. They used a rotating shaft with holes in it to move air through. And you spun that shaft, and that eliminated all valve springs and rocker arms and push rods and everything else. So we could run those engines a lot higher RPM, but we couldn't burn the fuel. So that became an issue when you were trying to do that. Well, with hydrogen, it eliminates that potential roadblock. So there's a lot of opportunity there, a lot of things that we will still play with and learn, right? The beauty to this is the only emissions you create as a rule are if you have blow by in the engine. So if you suck oil into the cylinder and physically burn that oil, that will create a minimal amount of emissions. So aside from that, we really don't have it, right? I mean, it's so weird to have this thing running and it sounds just like a traditional V8. I mean, it's there's virtually no difference in the way it sounds from a gasoline burning engine, but you can stand right where the tailpipes come out and there is no smell at all.
That's crazy. And it's making all that noise and racket and just like drive me. And it's no emissions.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's really, really amazing what you can do
with it. No hydrocarbons, no carbon monoxide, basically nothing but
Wow. Just water and a little bit of N2O. So as we go forward.
You have any targets as far as, you know, you're down to essentially zero emissions. Do you have any targets to, you know, be able to market and sell to whatever, later model vehicles or anything within the, you know, the aftermarket scene? You know, any kind of strategy there for being able to sell it across, you know, different, you know, applications and whatnot?
Absolutely there is. And so, you know, the fact that it basically creates no emission, there's no after treatment required either. So there's no catalytic converters, there's no DPFs, there's none of that's required, right? So you can eliminate all of that. There's no tank evap because it's a sealed pressure tank. So there's no permeable gasoline, there's no gas to evaporate out of it. You don't have to vent the tank. It's completely sealed. I mean, it answers all of those emission type issues, right? So I had the opportunity when I was at SEMA, 9 members of CARB came to meet with me, right? Have you ever heard of CARB going to meet with anyone?
No.
Not in a good way. Now with a bunch of tickets and fines. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. But SEMA arranged that for me, right? And so they worked with CARB and they came to meet with me. I went through all of the systems and all the processes and how it functions and everything else. They're extremely excited about it. They've invited me to come and you know, apply for my certificate and all that. So we're working on a timeline to do that. My goal is sooner than later to get that approved and get it legal through CARB, that we get an emission, you know, certification on it.
So what do you see as the big hurdles? What's the next big steps for you?
Well, first is going to production parts, right? So everything we're running on right now is experimental. So the next step of that is production, you know, direction and level for injectors and injector sizing. You know, we have to run 16 of them and we still don't have quite enough hydrogen to go after the big power. But when we, you know, get a larger injector, then we'll be able to do more of that. And that's the goal. I have meetings scheduled to to talk about, you know, how we do that. I mean, the response has been unbelievable. I mean, you know, you saw it at SEMO, Willie, and I mean, we were, we had people lined up, media lined up. I mean, I spent 4 days at SEMA doing TV show to podcast,
talking,
you know, just everything, right? Yeah. Nonstop. So our goal is to create a retrofit package. My approach to CARB and our direction there is basically anything right now that ran a port fuel injected or could be adapted to port fuel injection, any internal combustion engine, that our package will work on that. And that's the goal, to develop kits. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, this is really expensive to do. And, you know, so, but I mean, you know, Kevin, you work, you know, you've worked in the OE world, right? So you know what it takes to get through all of that stuff, right?
So, and big dollars, big budgets, big teams, you know?
Yeah. And
big challenges.
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have all the same challenges that the OE does, but we still have a lot of challenges and a lot of testing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're getting ready to build a second vehicle because the truck that we debuted in is a showpiece. And, you know, you can't lay over the fenders of a Tri-Coat Pearl and work on an engine all the time and not beat it up. And we're not going to do that. So we're getting ready to build a second vehicle, and then we'll start testing that. We're going to do cold weather development. We're going to do hot weather development. Because we store it as a gas and we use it as a gas, we don't have the kinds of issues that gasoline has when you change temperatures from one extreme to the other. Because we're using a gas that's fairly consistent, hydrogen is the lightest element known to man. So because we use it, that affords us the ability to not have to have, you know, those kinds of challenges based on cold or heat. So
how long can you run on a tank of it? Because it burns so fast. I imagine for the time being, it's difficult to get a longer run out of a tank of it, right?
Yeah. Well, and we don't have to inject huge amounts of it either. So that's an advantage because it does have three times the energy.
True.
Our 2.54 kilogram fuel tank is, if you do a conversion, is equal to about a 14-gallon fuel tank, right? And right now, we're not. Our estimates show that we have over 3 hours of runtime on that tank of fuel.
That's impressive, man. That's it's all cool to see where you're going and where the industry is going. There's so much interest and movement in that direction. So I hope you keep it up, man. It's always kind of exciting talking to you because you bro, you come to the table with some weird stuff, man. It's like the Rampage 1 year, and next year you're burning hydrogen. Like, what is Mike Copeland doing?
Yeah, everybody asked me how I was going to top the Rampage. So,
yeah, man.
If anybody wants to see the truck, we're going to have it at PRI next month, and it's going to be in the Eaton Automotive booth. It has an Eaton True Track in the rear, and Eaton makes the rotors for Magnuson for their superchargers. So Eaton had contacted me and asked if I would be willing to bring it to PRI. So, but I still play in the other world too, right? We're going to have that, the truck in Eaton's booth. And then I'm going to have a Gen 3, 426 cubic inch Hemi with twin Torquestorm superchargers in the Redline oil booth.
That's what I'm talking about, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. A little throttle therapy from Arrington Performance. All right, Mike, it's always a pleasure to chat with you, man. Guys, don't forget about our TV show. It airs weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. It's also available on Motor Trend On Demand. That's a great way to find a streaming, great resource to find our show and all the above. Thanks to our guest, Mike Copeland, Arrington Performance. Hey, Mike, where do people find more about you, social media? Where's all your handles?
Well, I go by just Mike Copeland on Facebook and on Instagram. It's the Mike Copeland on Instagram. You know, you can go to either shophemi.com or diversifiedcreations.com. Those are my two companies. And then very shortly, we're going to launch arrington-hydrogen.com. So you'll be able to keep up with everything we're doing.
ShopHemi.com. I always refer to you as the Mike Copeland. He is Kevin Bird, our producer Scoop, executive producer Bob Ecker. I am Willie B, and this is the Two Guys Garage podcast.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our website too, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're everywhere. Social on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Guys Garage. The Two Guys Garage podcast is a copyright 2021 Brenton Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Dude, that's all exciting stuff. I'm like, Mike, I can't wait to see how that develops, man. How fast before you hit 500? Before we get done, how fast? How long do you think it'd take you to hit that magic number?
It's just, it's injector size. So how fast we can make a set of injectors, a set of bigger injectors. There's no issue making the power, right? I mean, we can do that with a blower. Once we go to direct injected, when we make that conversion, then there's no loss of power. There's nothing you have to compensate for compared to, any other gasoline burning engine. So we expect a 25 to 30% power increase just switching to direct injection.
Work on that bigger fire hose, Mike. Dude. Shove it in there, man. Make the power. We want to see it.
I swear, man.
Yeah, well, are we still on the air or are we off?
No, we're on, man. It's always fun at Arrington, y'all. Arrington, it's the funnest place ever to work at and follow. Make sure you do so. That's the Two Guys Garage podcast. We'll call it done.
I'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Two Guys Garage podcast is a production of Brenton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.